Now we're going to change pace yet again. We've got our friend Peter, private investigator Pete from Absolute Facts. First of all, Happy New Year, Peter.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to you, Alan, and your listeners.
And what sort of Christmas was in P.I. Peter's house? Did you get time off or did you have to work?
A little bit of a cruisy time. I watched a fair bit of cricket, which was reasonably enjoyable. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a chillax.
Oh, that's a way to go. Obviously, you didn't go away at all?
No, just kept working and caught up on a few things and did a little bit of tidying up, although it doesn't look like it in the background, does it?
I wasn't going to be unkind enough to say that, Peter. I should just mention too, we did a station sting during that break from Leanne Patrick. We've actually got a, she's our local singer-songwriter, we've actually got a song coming up for in the next break. So have a listen to what Leanne's got to sing about in the next break. Peter, I know you had quite a bit of, well, not so much homework. There were quite a bit we didn't get through in December last year that you've held over to this year. But I've had a question already today, Peter, and I think we've in some ways covered it over the years, but we also have a few new listeners as well. The question's been asked, and we won't give it to you as homework because it's a fairly easy question. Out of your working week, I've got to have a cough. I got COVID just before Christmas. I got that stupid cough back. Peter, out of your working week, which is whatever hours it is, how much would you spend actually in what you would call out in the field, either looking at, asset protection, looking for shoplifters and all that, or on your computer and all those sorts of things, chasing down people? Is it a 50-50 mix? Would you spend 70% out following people, sitting on sites, waiting to see people? Or, yeah, I guess that which one, or this person wants to get an idea of what percentage you would put in.
Yeah, well, it was for quite a number of years around about that 50-50 split, which was quite enjoyable, Alan, because you half the week you're sitting at the computer beavering away and the other half of the week you're out in the car watching and waiting for something to happen. Probably it's getting more towards the desktop and computer-based stuff at the moment. But like I've joked about before, one of the clients that I work for calls me beck and call, so I'm at his beck and call. So the phone can ring and I'm in the car and out the door in 5 minutes, and who knows where that's going to finish up. So, yeah, probably about a 70-30 split at the moment, 70% in the office work in the computers and probably 30% out in the field.
Well, and the reason why – well, not the reason why I ask you, because of the person that somebody else asked the question, I guess there is so much more on computers that you can find out now too, that you can drill down and find stuff which you probably couldn't 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely, and you have to adapt. And one of the recent developments that's come up for me, and I've spoken before, Alan, about attending court appearances and things like that. Well, there is the capability to actually tune in online, which is not 100% reliable, but it's an alternative that I've presented to a couple of my clients, and it means I can basically be listening on a court waiting for a particular matter or two to be called. Yep. And in the meantime, I could be working, doing other things for the same client on the computer. Well, so it's a bit of a win-win, and it saves the travelling as well. So
I guess, too, it all depends on the case, doesn't it? I mean, if you're based in the southeastern suburbs and something you want to know is up in Shepparton or something, well, it's a lot easier to log on than the trip to Shepparton back, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and I guess it's also what the priority is. So for the priorities to actually locate the person and perhaps get them to their next destination after their court matter, well, obviously you still go out in the field.
Yep.
Failing that, it can save quite a lot of time and resources if you can simply tune in. And, of course, a lot of times matters just get adjourned for, you know, another 2 to 3 or 4 weeks down the track, and it saves wasting the time and resources.
Yeah, that's fair enough too. All right, Peter, I know that you had a number of things that we were going to try and cover on before Christmas, but we sort of ran out of time. So would you like to run through some of that for us, Peter?
Yeah, well, if I recall rightly, we finished having a bit of a discussion about the facial recognition technology and yep. The pros and cons about that. And over the break, I noticed an interesting article coming out of the UK, out of London specifically, where the Metropolitan Police Force has been using basically fitted out a van with facial recognition technology. Perfect. And that's led them to make 540 arrests in 2024 for offences ranging from shoplifting to rape. Sure. So what they're saying is, and of the 540 arrests, more than 50 were for serious offences involving violence against women and girls. So that's the Metropolitan Police Force side of the coin. Sure. And, of course, then we have the civil libertarian side of the coin, yep. Which is basically referring it to, you know, Big Brother watching you, and the technology works by creating a face print of everyone who passes in front of the camera, and that it's they're claiming that that's potentially a breach of privacy and civil liberties and all that sort of thing. So, like with everything, and I think we've had a similar discussion. There's pros and cons there's both sides of the argument, isn't there?
And there's a bit of a trade-off, isn't there? That, I mean, I personally don't have any problems photographing me going down the street because wherever I am, I'm supposed to be. And I'm not putting anybody down. I just find that a bit of a hard thing to sort of be arguing, because if you're doing what you should do, and I don't give a damn what people know I'm doing, to be honest, does it worry you?
Oh, not particularly, no. And in fact, I think you've got to be a little bit, in my case, you've got to be alert to people paying particular attention to you, particularly if you've been sitting in one spot for a period of time. So that can cause difficulty. And of course, if it's a sort of residential suburban environment, well, I've got to be aware of that, and would probably the best thing I do is to let the local police know that I'm there, and if they get one or two or 17 phone calls, then they know that I'm there and that I'm there for a reason.
Peter, I've got to take a quick break. I've got another question I need to ask you, but I'll take a quick break and I'll be back. We'll be back with more. welcome back. And that was our very own Leanne Patrick and Newtown. Leanne lives in Healesville. She's a very talented singer and she appears at a number of clubs and clubs around the area, and certainly did prior to Christmas. And I think she's got some gigs coming up during this year. Peter, just before we move off this idea of facial recognition, I read the other day in the paper that one of the banks, I think it is, or some organisation is going to do away with the numbers on the back of your credit card or the numbers on your credit card. So how are they going to do that? Are they going to use facial recognition for that or what?
Yeah, I believe there's – I have read about that. I think it might have been the National would be the first one to do that, and it's they're going to rely on biometrics in whatever – however that might work.
Tell me what that is. I don't know.
I might have to do some homework on that, but it would be something to do with fingerprint or eye recognition. I think probably heading towards the eye. So, again, I don't know the practicalities of how that's going to work, but there's definitely plans. I believe all the credit card providers have plans to remove entirely the numbers. I think it was 2026. So, yes, I did read the same article, and I was a little bit intrigued about how they were going to go about otherwise verifying the identity of the person using the card.
Could you have a bit of a look at that for next time, please, Peter, because I'm intrigued.
Yes, I'm interested. I'm intrigued by that one as well.
We get the civil libertarians and that saying that you can't use this sort of stuff. But on the other hand, if one bank changes, you can bet whatever you like that all the others are going to do the same.
I think it's a guarantee by 2026 that there'll be no credit card numbers per se. They'll be gone.
Gee. Don't know.
However they get around that, I'm not sure as well, but I will certainly look into it. Yes, it piqued my curiosity as well, I must admit.
Yeah. All right. So there was some other stuff, I think, left over from Christmas, Peter, that we just didn't get to.
Yeah, although something that's come up a little more recently, the Melbourne City Council, due to the presence of increasingly violent beggars and drunks on Melbourne streets, was prompting a council plan to hire private security guards to protect its staff. And they've reported 37 council workers being injured in attacks over the past 2 years.
True.
Check that this morning, because I think the council meeting was yesterday, Tuesday, and they've actually now announced a pilot program whereby the council are going to employ two guards for a 6-week pilot period to see whether they may make a difference. And they've also requested Victoria Police to provide two officers to work with local law enforcement officers 7 days a week. So basically, presumably a 24/7 roster of Victoria Police to assist the council local law officers, which I'm not sure whether that includes the parking inspectors, because I heard something that they've recently went out on strike and they've asked to actually now pair up.
Yeah,
The attitude of the general public when being issued with parking fines.
Not good. Peter, I guess too that while you're talking about these things, and we're probably getting a little bit off the track if I go down this track, but I see down somewhere in the western suburbs that some streets have banded together and hiring security guard to drive through their suburb at night, aren't they, to try and get rid of these?
I believe we touched on that in the November chat. Yes, there are local, and there has actually been one that's had that in place for quite a while. It's the suburb of Ainsbury, which is out a bit south of Melton, and they've actually had, I believe, security guards in place pretty much since the suburb was developed, which is now probably a good 8 to 10 years ago now. So, because that's a fairly that's sort of one of those isolated one road in, one road out sort of scenario. So it's probably a good place to be able to monitor, I guess, the comings and goings. That's a new trend as well. So just to change tack a little bit, and something we did touch on, I think, we talk quite often about retailer violence, and I noticed an article just before Christmas, which is basically New South Wales based, but they're saying due to the skyrocketing rates of assault against retail workers, particularly in the big supermarkets, the New South Wales government actually introduced tougher new penalties. And this was back then in anticipation of the chaotic Christmas and Boxing Day shopping periods. And that they were saying that incidents caught on camera, various situations that under the new penalties, assaulting, intimidating or throwing something at a retail worker in New South Wales could land the perpetrator 4 years in jail.
True. That one, and that should happen. I saw on Facebook, and you might have seen it, that some woman, it was a woman, was in a coffee shop, and because something went wrong, she picked up a coffee and threw it at the barista.
Yeah, hot coffee. Yeah, that's not funny, is it? So, and then again, the continuation of the theme, there is an article as well talking about retailers suffering an epidemic of violence as thugs brazenly steal, threaten and assault innocent workers for the crime of doing their job. So, you know, referring to workers being punched, threatened with weapons, enduring death threats while working at supermarkets and shopping centres. And that retail crime itself is costing about $8 billion in the last financial year, which reflects as about 2% of the annual turnover for the retail sector.
Peter, is that $8 billion that you're talking about, is that in stolen goods or lost time?
Retail crime, so yeah, it would be stolen goods, it would be damaged property. Retail crime, which does cover a bit of a holistic sort of area, but yeah, $8 billion, 2% of sector-wide annual turnover. That's probably the scary number, that it's 2%.
Yeah.
So that could be another reason why people are starting to get more up in arms about it. And we spoke about the reporting portal, which is called AURA, spelled AUROR, which retailers can post their incidents on and share it amongst themselves and also Victoria Police or police, so that they can get together and look at, people that clearly target multiple retailers, not necessarily specifically one retailer. So,
Peter, do you know, and this is probably an unfair question to ask you, but I'll ask you, and you can almost tell me, how's a legal situation if you're working in a shop and some of these hoods come in and grab the stock and they run out and you've got them on CCTV and you publish it on, say, Facebook or something like that? Do you know what the legal situation is?
Yes, there is a trend for doing that, and a lot of times you'll notice that people that do put a post up do it under an anonymous banner, which I would suspect that if police really wanted to know who that was, they could find that out.
Yep.
So, look, I think, yes, people do skate a little bit on the thin ice there. When you have to be super careful, because I guess you could face, libel or something like that if you wrongly accuse someone or accuse someone and then it doesn't get sort of followed through or proven in court, then you're leaving yourself open to being probably sued civilly, I should imagine. So
I've seen a few shops where they've even got photos and said, this person stole this from me, and I'm just wondering how that would stack up. But I suppose on the other hand, if they did it, they're not likely to sue you, are they?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one because, I mean, Victoria Police put out bulletins and, what persons, wanted persons, yep, obviously, warrants. If warrants are issued, Victoria Police can publish a poster, a wanted on warrant kind of thing. And for one of the things I do, I keep a lookout for Warrant Wednesday, because that's a lot of times when they'll print a number of warrants for a particular area. So and they're up on that they go up on Facebook sort of crime pages as well. So,
oh, do they?
So, yeah, that's something that's worth monitoring in some ways. From piecing together, perhaps people that have committed a retail theft at various stores rather than one particular store. I think, again, if it's a legitimate, for argument's sake, if it's a warrant, then I don't see the problem with that being publicised, and obviously Victoria Police don't have a problem with it. And as far as, someone trying to break into your property or trying to break into a retail premises and stuff like that, again, I'm not sure there's any harm in actually putting your CCTV stills up and seeking public assistance as to who that might be, because, again, if you go back to the Aura program, then if there's a decent image within that program and someone's familiar with it and can look at it, then they could possibly well piece together an incident that's been put up asking for assistance to a person that's already known.
Peter,
I would suspect police would do the same thing.
Yeah, I got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. That song was out of the 1980s, Major Matchbox and Rockabilly Rebel. I'll be here on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade, but we'll be playing mostly from the 60s, maybe a couple from the 50s and a bit later, but mainly from the 60s. So that's it this Sunday night, 6 to 8 p.m. But we're talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. Peter, I shudder. You've told me what you call this initial segment you want to talk about. I got no idea. I'm not sure where this is going to go. But anyway, let's go. Peter, tell us all about it.
Yes. You're a man of the world, Alan, and I'm wondering if you knew what quishing was.
No, I don't. And I'm a bit worried.
I thought a highly educated chap like yourself would be aware of quishing or may have even been quished before.
Don't oversell me, Peter.
Let's hope not, because quishing is apparently the new next big thing in fraud. What it is?
In fraud.
It's a, yes, it's a scam expert is warning people not to use physical QR codes in shops and restaurants because of the increasing number of QR scams, which is called quishing, which is sort of a play on the word phishing with the PH that goes on the internet. Okay. So basically, again, it's, as you know, with the QR codes that are, you know, printed all over the place and were particularly prevalent during the COVID period.
And we had to use them during COVID, didn't we?
Exactly right. And codes rather than text-based links in emails, digital platforms or on physical items is becoming the next big thing for scammers and linked to international crime groups. So obviously it's a trend that's overseas. It's expected to hit Australia sooner or later. And what they do is they print and overlay counterfeits on top of QR codes at places like restaurants, retail stores, service stations, and even posters to basically steal data from phones. Yep. So as soon as you take the image, of the QR code, malware is downloaded onto your phone, and in an instant, all your passwords and all your details are stolen.
Because quite a few of the restaurants now insist that you're using it, don't they?
Yes, so well, they're for ordering and also for feedback. So what happens is, as I discussed, they overlay a different QR code over the top of the existing one, which I guess if you look closely enough, you may or may not pick up on. And at that point, then you get all your information stolen. So it's an interesting one. I don't QR code very often, to be quite honest, but I know a lot of perhaps the younger generation do.
Yeah, they do.
So something to be wary of.
Gee,
so now you know what quishing is, Alan. Not as bad as you thought.
No, I was a bit worried about that.
And another overseas trend that will probably, no doubt, if it's not already happening in Australia, and it's actually phone snatching. So, and basically the essence of the article is Australians heading to the UK are being warned to be on high alert after phone snatching crime soars. So grabbing expensive smartphones from people's hands, bags, jackets, leaving it on the counter, all that sort of thing. Apparently, that's a bit of a trend in the UK, which no doubt will make its way over to Australia and Victoria soon enough. Yeah. And they've estimated 78,000 phones or bags were stolen on UK streets in the past year, an increase of 150%.
Gee.
So hence the warning, and as I've alluded to, no doubt that'll be a trend that hits Australia pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
Can guarantee it. Peter, I've just got a quick break, and we're back with more.
Yeah.
talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. And if you've got any questions you want us to put to Peter, give us a bell either now, or it's pretty late to hit him with a question now, but send an email for info@yarravalleyfm.org.au, and Peter will answer it for you. Peter, I've just had a quick phone call from somebody while we were on the there. Could you have a look at this for next time? You said at the moment shoplifting or asset protection is costing about 2%, I think you said, and how many billion it was?
Yep.
Could you go back to, say, well, only 1 year. Don't keep going, spend a lot of time on it, but year 2000 or maybe 1998 or something, see, A, what the dollar's value was, and B, whether that 2% has increased. I'm tipping it has, but I could be wrong. Maybe it was 1.5%, maybe it was 1%. So could you have a look at that for us, please? Well, we've just had somebody ask the question.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, I agree with you. I'd say on the surface, I suspect the number's a little higher, but obviously given the inflation and the increased number of turnover, then obviously the actual physical number would be higher as well, yep. As much due to those reasons as well as a suspected increase in the actual rate of theft. So, I think it should.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I wouldn't mind betting that 2% was quite a bit lower back in, say, yes, the late 1990s or something. But if you could just do that for me. Now, Peter, we've got about 8 minutes. You've got something else to tell us?
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a continuation on from the QR code, the quishing that were you concerned about, Alan.
Yeah.
And basically it's saying, again, it's to do with Facebook Marketplace and scammers sending what they claim to be an Australia Post QR code or link to show that they've paid for the item.
I've had one of those.
And once again, they're saying you click on the link to confirm the payment, and that obviously then gets you to all sorts of nefarious areas and downloading things you probably don't want to download.
Yep.
So, again, gathering sensitive information, trying to steal, commit identity theft and all that sort of stuff. So, again, that's more of the phishing rather than quishing, Alan.
Yep.
And that's phishing with a PH, of course, not with an F. So, and Australia Post have responded by noting that they do not provide prepayment services for online marketplace listings. So if someone tries to go that way, Australia Post have reiterated that they don't offer that service. So it basically has to be a scam.
Peter, another one I've had, and I continue to get them, and I actually went to Telstra at Christmas and asked them, is, you know, if you don't click on here today and renew or update your details for your webmail, you won't get any emails. And so far it was 3 months ago, 2 months ago, 1 month ago, and I got one only yesterday telling me tomorrow I won't be able to access email. So that's doing the rounds too.
Yes, as well as the, of course, the infamous CityLink or linked ones as well, saying that you've got a toll invoice and you need to click on a link to pay a toll invoice. So, again, you've got to be pretty wary about anything along those lines.
That QR code,
a continuation of the QR code problems.
Well, I was just going to say, that QR code has got me quite concerned because so many of the restaurants now insist on you doing it. So I can see people clicking on those QR codes without sort of even thinking about it.
No, it's become a reflex for as I alluded to, probably more the younger generation. But, they don't even think about it. And that's opened the opportunity for people to try and take advantage of it.
Yep. Something else, Pete?
Yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, sure. So had a put up an article or some information about, unfortunately, insolvency appointments in Victoria have seen a 71% increase in the 6 months to December, 31st of December 2024, with unfortunately 2,000 181 business failures in that period compared with 1,275 in the same six-month period a year ago. And they're saying that a fair few of the corporate failures have been in the, as they term, the embattled hospitality sector.
And they tell me if you read some of the things going on, like coffee, instead of your $5, $6 coffee, they're talking about going to a horrendous level too, aren't they?
Yes, there has been a warning on coffee prices. So I guess it's if you see the big jars of Makona or whatever your preference is on special, I think I'd be buying one or two. So I do notice they have been on special lately. So you wonder whether it was a marketing ploy or something, but... I must admit, I fell for it and bought an $18 massive jar just in case. You never know.
Yeah, well, you got to help yourself.
Now I've got another one for you, Alan, and I'm sure you were a party to this one. Mm. Because on the 5th of January, Alan, it was the busiest day of the year for dating apps.
Not at me.
And that's according to Tinder, who reveal that the first Sunday of the year, which is now known as Dating Sunday, is the most a surge in activity occurs on Dating Sunday.
I wonder why.
More than the first Sunday of the year. I suppose people are perhaps on holidays and maybe got a bit more time to look at swiping left or swiping right, whatever the case might be. And their Tinder are claiming 356 matches a second on Dating Sunday.
Jeez.
Over 10% more matches than during the rest of the year. 15% more likes, 20% more messages sent on the first Sunday of the year. So how did you go on Dating Sunday, Alan? Did you have a win?
No, nobody flicked right for me. Peter, the other thing is, too, that I was doing an interview late last year and I can't remember who it was and what we're talking about, but they say that one of the biggest times of breakup is Christmas too, particularly if people are having an affair, like the husband goes away with his wife but he's been having an affair and the mistress gets sick of being at home by herself. And they reckon there's a variety of reasons, but they reckon one of the biggest breakups time is over the Christmas period.
Yeah, when they have to spend time together and they're away from their third-party liaisons.
Or the third-party cracks the sooks about being left
exactly,
at home
yes.
And while he's off having a good time with his family. And I believe, well, that's what I was told, that it's the biggest breakup is over the Christmas New Year period.
Yes, and I have actually experienced this a couple of times over the journey, Alan, where the wife has employed myself keep an eye on the husband when they get back, because obviously they're quite desperate to catch up with the third party interloper upon return from holiday.
So did you catch many out?
I had 100% success rate, which I have for all my, or I had for all my female clients. They're always right, Alan.
You said that before. So there's some real slime bags out here, aren't there?
Yes, and a few repeat offenders.
Are they?
I think we've discussed this before, that when I conclude my mission for my lady clients, I always say to them, a leopard doesn't change their spots. And I've had a number of phone calls over the years when the first thing they've said to me, you were right, a leopard doesn't change its spots.
Oh, it's shocking, really, isn't it? I mean, we laugh, but it's not really good, because, I mean, people are getting hurt. But so you found quite a bit of that, have you, that when they come back from Christmas, they're so desperate to catch up, they take risks and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, they're desperately keen to rekindle the out of marital home romance. Absolutely,
true.
Very keen, and make all sorts of excuses to get away.
Peter, I've got to go. Unfortunately, thank you for your time again. It's Peter from Absolute Facts, mate. Tell us a bit about Pink Floyd. We're going to play "Obscured by Clouds."
That's the album, and it was an album prior to Dark Side of the Moon, which most people would know. So they're just finding their feet, Pink Floyd, and very Gilmour's really starting to make his presence felt with his terrific guitar work.
A song you like?
Yes. Is it actually Obscured by Clouds, a song, or a song off the album?
No, Obscured by Clouds.
The track off the album by the same name. Yep.
Thanks again, Peter. I'll talk to you next month.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Mate. Bye.